Let us pray. The grass withers and the flower fades, O God, but your word will stand forever. As your word is read and proclaimed this day, we ask that by the power of your Spirit, that we would hear your voice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our second reading continues the episode from Acts chapter 16. It was just too long to leave it as one whole piece, but too good to leave any of it out. So we continue starting with verse 25. Let us listen together for God's word to us. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was an earthquake so violent that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors wide open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, since he supposed that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted in a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." The jailer called for lights, and rushing in, he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them outside and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They answered, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. At the same hour of the night, he took them and washed their wounds. Then he and his entire family were baptized without delay. He brought them up into the house and set food before them, and he and his entire household rejoiced that he had become a believer in God. When morning came, the magistrates sent the police, saying, "Let those men go." And the jailer reported the message to Paul, saying, "The magistrates sent word to let you go. Therefore, come out now and go in peace." But Paul replied, "They have beaten us in public, uncondemned, men who are Roman citizens, and have thrown us into prison. And now are they going to discharge us in secret? Certainly not. Let them come and take us out themselves." The police reported these words to the magistrates, and they were afraid when they heard that they were Roman citizens. So they came and apologized to them, and they took them out and asked them to leave the city. After leaving the prison, they went to Lydia's home, and when they had seen and encouraged the brothers and sisters there, they departed. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Freedom is a quintessential American trait. Our national anthem calls us the land of the free. Our nation has fought many wars, and we describe those wars as a fight for freedom. I also think about in 2003, when the United States was preparing to invade Iraq and the French refused to join us. There was an effort to rebrand French fries. Do you remember this? To call them freedom fries instead. Our society's most contentious issues are freedoms. These are the things we argue over. Freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of the press, freedom of assembly. And the reason we argue about these things so much is because they are so sacred to us, so much a part of our identity as citizens of the United States of America. But despite how central freedom is to us, or maybe because of how central freedom is to us, we do have a tendency to distort it. The pandemic has highlighted some of these distortions in very interesting ways. There have been so many issues over the last year related to masking and closures of businesses and other venues, issues regarding where people can and cannot gather and how many, even issues surrounding schooling for children. And these issues have tended to be framed not so much as questions of health policy, but questions of freedom. And the limitations that were placed upon us by many were seen as curtailments of our freedom, as things that stood in the way of our exercise of the freedoms that are rightfully ours. Now, I'm thinking of freedom today for two reasons. The first is the obvious one. Today is the 4th of July, our Independence Day. It's the first day that I can remember where the 4th has fallen on a Sunday. I could be wrong about that, but in my time as a pastor, I don't recall it happening. But the second reason I'm thinking about freedom is because Paul, as we follow him on his missionary journeys, is in prison. So that's an interesting contrast. Our Independence Day and Paul and Silas in prison. But this story gives us a vision of the curtailment of freedoms, you might say, right? Paul's literal freedom is literally taken away from him. Right? He's lost his freedom, he's in jail. So how he handles this situation helps us understand what freedom really means. So we've been following Paul, and Paul's traveling companion has been, up to now, Barnabas. We skipped over a little bit of Acts chapter 15, in which Paul and Barnabas have a falling out over, you might call it, a personnel issue. And so now Paul and Silas are partners traveling to share the good news of the gospel. They have come to the city of Philippi, where they met Lydia. And now they're going out to this place of prayer, the same place where they met Lydia. And there's this girl who's following them around, this girl who has a spirit of divination, a spirit that has made her parents a lot of money. But for Paul, this girl is an annoyance. And so Paul exercises the spirit, right? Removes the spirit from this girl, which incenses her parents. They've lost their source of income. So they drag Paul and Silas in front of the authorities. Paul and Silas are stripped and beaten and put in jail. And in jail, in the innermost cell of the jail. And while they're there, they sing and they pray. And then suddenly there is a great earthquake. It shakes the foundations of the prison. Their shackles come undone. The doors swing open. And the jailer sees it all and panics and thinks to take his own life because all these prisoners that were his to guard are gone. But Paul says, no, don't worry. Don't hurt yourself. We're all still here. Paul makes a convert of the jailer and his household. And then the jailer is instructed to let Paul and Silas go, and Paul and Silas refuse to go. They say, not like this, we're not leaving. Go tell the magistrates, have them come and set us free themselves. So they do, and then they're asked to leave the city. This is a theme for Paul in his journeys, coming to a place, things going awry, and being asked to leave or forced to leave. This is a multifaceted story. There is a lot going on in this prison scene. But my focus today is on freedom and what this story tells us about the nature of freedom. Look at this story. At what point in this story does Paul become upset? Right? It's not when he's brought before the authorities, for no good reason, really. That would be upsetting. It's not when he's stripped in public. It's not when he is beaten. And it's not when he's thrown into the innermost cell of a first century Roman prison. None of these things seem to upset Paul. Paul gets upset when he's let go. That is the place where Paul is upset. That's what makes him angry. He doesn't protest as his freedom is progressively revoked from him because his freedom doesn't concern him. Now, there are two primary ways to think about freedom. The usual way we think about freedom is the freedom of the self. And to put it in a kind of an unsophisticated way, it's my freedom to do what I want. Maybe in grade school, someone came to you and said, you know, you can't do that. And you said, I can do what I want. It's a free country. And then you probably stuck out your tongue, right? That's freedom of the self, right? It's my freedom to do what I want. And most freedoms, when we use that word, most freedoms are of this sort. These are the freedoms that we talk about, the freedoms that we argue over. These are the freedoms we work so hard, even fight, to preserve. My freedom to live my life. the way that I want to live it. My freedom to worship where and when and whom I want. My freedom to act the way that I want, to speak the way that I want, to think the way that I want. This kind of freedom is the first freedom. And there are people, even in our own country, who lack this freedom. People who lack this first freedom, whether it's because of a government or unjust systems like prejudice or unfair labor practices or rigid gender roles, people who lack this kind of freedom because of unhealthy or abusive relationships, there are all kinds of reasons that people do not enjoy this first freedom. And this first freedom is necessary freedom. I know I made it sound silly with the kids in the schoolyard, but this is real freedom, and it really matters. It's the freedom we fight wars over. It's the freedom we're celebrating today in the United States on our Independence Day. And there are many advocates and people of compassion still working and struggling day after day today to achieve this freedom for themselves and for others. But if this is the only way that we understand freedom, the freedom of the self, once we have the real freedoms, the bedrock freedoms, the foundational freedoms in place, the freedoms we've fought for, the freedoms we have worked to preserve, once those are in place, if this is the only way we conceive of freedom, well, then we begin to imagine that my freedom, the freedom of myself, is absolute. Or it should be, that it should continue to extend out and out, and we take it to extremes. And when we do this, we trivialize the meaning of freedom. I think this is why freedom fries never caught on, because it's a bit silly. It's a bit trivial. It's not symbolic of the real meaning of freedom. There are two kinds of freedom, and the first is the freedom of the self, my freedom. Do what I want, to live how I want. And the second is the freedom from the self, to be free from selfish preoccupations, to be free from ambitions of greatness, to be free from needing the world's acclamation. Paul is not outraged at losing his freedoms because he has a higher sense of what freedom is about. He's in chains in the innermost cell of this jail, and he is still free. Free to sing and to pray. Free to do what God has called him to do. Free to share the good news with others, even the man keeping him in prison. When Paul writes his letters, he talks about his sufferings and how he counts his sufferings as joy. And some of his letters are even written from prison. And he speaks of himself as a prisoner because of the gospel. And he's okay with that. This girl that's been following Paul and Silas around, what is it that she says of them? She says, these men are slaves of the Most High God. These men are slaves of the Most High God. Which means that they have willingly relinquished the freedom of their selves in order to serve a purpose higher than the self, in order to be a part of something bigger than the self. True freedom comes when we hold these two freedoms together, when we establish the freedoms that naturally belong to every human being. These freedoms cannot be ignored. We can't just say, well, I have a higher understanding of freedom, or rather, you have a higher understanding of freedom, so you shouldn't worry if you don't have these other freedoms, right? The first freedoms are necessary freedoms, but we can't stop there. We have to hold both of these freedoms together. And rather than trivializing or arguing over the silly excesses of freedom, we learn to hold our first freedoms lightly, in order to find that second freedom. What matters most to Paul in this story is his ability to carry out his mission. That's why his release mattered so much to him. His imprisonment, not so much. But the release did matter to him. In order to carry out his mission, he has to maintain his credibility. He has to maintain his ability to be a messenger of the gospel. If he's released in secret, people are going to think that he broke out of jail. People are going to think that what matters most to Paul when push comes to shove is that he can live his life the way that he wants. By willingly giving over his preoccupation with himself, he is set free to discover his gifts, to use those gifts. He's set free to be a part of something bigger than himself, whether he's in prison or anywhere else. And when we begin to let go of what we believe we are free to do for ourselves, then we are free to discover our gifts. We're free to find our purpose, to be who God made us to be slaves of the Most High God. We are free to become a part of something bigger, to be a part of the work of God's kingdom. Let us pray. God, help us to discover true freedom for ourselves and for others, to work for those first freedoms for those who do not enjoy them, and to see beyond those first freedoms so that we might be free from ourselves, free to serve, free to love, free to work for the good of this world and for your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.